this moment in time that David writes this, he has just been confronted by Nathan, the prophet, about his affair with Bathsheba. Okay, and so David is in a pretty low place. He's just been confronted by Nathan by doing this awful deed. And as I was thinking about the weather this morning too, I begin to think about this psalm, and it talks about restoration. And restore to me the joy of your salvation. And this morning, we're all a little, maybe some of us are joyful about the snow, but what I hear the rumble is that we're ready for spring. We're ready for that rejuvenation. We're ready to see that green grass. We're ready to hear them gobblers gobbling the trees, and we're ready to get out there and enjoy the springtime. And so I thought that this would be the Lord impressed upon me that this would be a good message for today to talk about restoration and thinking about the spring to come and comparing that to the sin that we deal with. And through the grace that we receive from Christ, there is restoration in our lives. That sometimes when we're going through a sin, as David is going through, dealing with the sin, the sexual sin of having relations with Bathsheba, it feels like a very cold, dark place. And maybe some of you can relate to that this morning, that you maybe sometimes, or you have been wrapped up in your sin so much that it just feels very cold and very far away from joy. And what we see here in the psalm, in the Psalms that David, or that King David writes, is this plea to God to restore to him that he wants to be back into a right relationship with God, and that he hopes that God will further help him prosper in his life. And so I want to read to you that psalm today. We're going to break it down, and then I'm going to play you this song. And that's all I'm going to say today. Because I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about the grace that we have through Christ. I want you to think about that forgiveness that comes through his blood. And I want you just to think about that as we're sitting here on a cold, snowy Sunday morning. And I want you to be joyful, even though that some of us are a little grumpy about the snow, that we can be joyful in what Christ has done for us on the cross. That we know that a day is coming, a day in our lives where the sin that we deal with, it will be like a sunshiny day when God forgives us, and or when we receive that forgiveness and that grace, and it'll be like a joyful, sunshiny day. Remember, can you think about that in your mind? Let's just take a moment. Close your eyes, and I want you to think about that day. No peeking. Just think about that day. Think about a day that you walked outside, and it was just perfect. Sun is shining, birds are chirping, maybe there's a breeze blowing, but it's just a beautiful day. Now come back to reality. That's the difference. If we're thinking about days here, we compare that to sin and forgiveness, that's the difference. Sin can be very cold and very dark and very gloomy. But on a joyful moment that we realize that we have the joy and the grace that Christ provides for us, it is like a beautiful sunshiny day. And so this morning as we read Psalms 51, I want us to begin to think about what David is saying here. As he just lays on these pages his heart. It says this: Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach your transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. But your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem, then you will delight in righteousness, righteous sacrifice. A burnt offering and a whole burnt offering, then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Father, as we move into the scripture, Lord, I just pray that you begin to work in our hearts and our lives, Father. Help us to realize what David is going through here, Father. Help us just to apply it to our lives, Father. Help us to pray the same prayer that David prays as we move forward in this today. We love you, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. So right there in the first two passages, we see David. Remember, Nathan has just confronted David about this sin with Bathsheba. He has sent Uriah into battle to die, to cover up his sin. And he's trying to hide it. He's trying to cover it up. And he just can't. He can't kill enough people. He can't hide it. He can't do anything to get rid of that sin. And God gives Nathan the words to speak to David. And that's exactly what he does. And he confronts David. And instantly, David realizes his sin and realizes what he has done, not only to himself, but what he has done to God. And I imagine that he felt low. And so in these first two verses we see, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. This is a man who has realized that he has screwed up and that he needs the grace that God has to offer. And Nathan, God uses Nathan to show him that he needs the love of the Father, that he needs to repent and turn from his sins. David is begging God in prayer to not forgive him, to be gracious to him, to have loving kindness towards him, and to help him blot out his transgressions. You see, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Make me clean, make me pure. He continues on, he begins to confess. In verses 3 through 6, he says, for I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you speak, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. David is going over all the sin. He says, Lord, I am just a sinner, and I have sinned against nobody else but you. And I've been a sinner my whole life from the moment that I was conceived in sin. I struggle with this sin, and so, Lord, I'm asking you to blot out that sin. This is a man who has been confronted. He realizes that he's sinned, and now he's confessing to God the things that he's done. He's confessing that his heart is sinful and that he needs to be purified. And we see his petition to be purified in the next several verses. And he begs with God to purify him. He says, verse 7, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Here is a young man who has realized that his sin has overtaken him. And when you go back and you read this story, you see all that David tries to go through to cover it up and to make it not as bad. He puts a bunch of band-aids on it, and it just keeps coming through. And he realizes, as Nathan confronts him, he realizes that he has messed up. He realizes that he's made the mistake. He begins to confess that to God. And he makes a petition that God would purify him and cleanse him of this sin. And I love these words. And when I play this song for you, you'll understand why I love these words so much. But it's a testament to what Christ can do for us. You know, listen, David was struggling with sexual sin and other things in his life. But understand that the sin that we struggle in our lives, Christ has already covered that sin. I told you a couple weeks ago that we need to remember that if we truly believe that Christ died on the cross for our sins at that moment, then we understand that Christ has already conquered our giants. The big, tall obstacles, the big sins and things that we deal with in our life, we have to understand that Christ has already conquered that. And so we must draw up close to Him. David doesn't know who Jesus is, but he knows that the only person that can forgive him of these sins, the only person that can make him whiter than snow, the only person that can take care of this is God Himself. And so he makes a petition to God. And you can tell that this is a man who does not want to see God leave him. He says in there in verses 11, he says, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me with a willing spirit." Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Give me hope. Give me regeneration in my life. Change who I am and show me what I must do in order to get back into your favor. That is what David is pleading to God in these verses. He's saying, "Don't forget about me. I have made a mistake. I have screwed up. But Father, please don't forget. Please don't forget who I am. And please don't cast me away from your presence." David quickly moves from petition to God to make him pure and holy once again to, "Father, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. If you take care of me, if you purify me, Father, I will do your bidding." The vow of praise, he was going to give him praise and glory. In verse 13 it says, "Then," so this is after he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation," in verse 12, "and sustain in me a willing spirit." He says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness." It's the blood of Uriah. "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, and the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." David realizes that he could offer all types of sacrifices, all these things that they were supposed to offer in those days. But he realized that what God wanted was a broken heart. He wanted a contrite heart, a broken and contrite heart. That this man realizes his sin and he turns to God and he says, "Lord, change who I am. Show me the way in which you want me to go. Do not cast me away. Please make me pure and let me do your bidding. Purify me, Father. Don't forget about me." You know, thinking about David and thinking about this time, you know, we have it real easy. Because I'm sure that David had heard the prophecy of the Messiah. But the Messiah had not come yet. And so for us, we realize that we have Jesus that has died on the cross for our sins and makes us pure and holy because of his His sacrifice on the cross, we can draw close to God and have a relationship with Him. But in this moment in time, that relationship was could be very close at times, but then also could be very far away. And in David's case of the sin that he had committed, he had gotten further and further away from God, that he wasn't listening to God as he should. And it took Nathan the prophet to step in and say, "This is what God says. And this is what you have done." For David to realize that he had drifted far from God. And we remember the story of David and Bathsheba, that David wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was supposed to be at war, because that's what kings did in the springtime. But David chose to stay back alone. He found himself in trouble, not following what God wanted him to do. And so he begs and he pleads with God. He says, "Give me, Lord, that purification, Lord, to clean me up, change who I am. Don't forget about me. Don't take away your spirit from me, Father. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And it just reminds me, as I read this, that it just, again, brings back to me the restoration that I received through Christ. That when I mess up and I make mistakes, I read this passage, and I say, "Lord, restore to me the joy of myself, of your salvation. Lord, remind me of why I'm here. Remind me of who I serve. Remind me of why I do what I do. Make me strong, build me up, and send me out, Father." David finishes off this passage here. Some say that 18 and 19 were added later after this psalm was written, because they don't really tie in with the scripture, but it kind of does, and ties in with verse 17. Verse 17 says, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem, then you will delight in righteous sacrifice, in burnt offering, the whole burnt offering. Then the young bulls will be offered on your altar." That doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you think about the future. That what David is focusing on is the future. He says, "Oh Lord God, please restore to me the joy of your salvation. Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Lord, I will do your bidding and I will do what you have asked me to do. And Lord, if we continue to do that, show favor to Zion, build up the walls of Jerusalem, and you will delight in a righteous sacrifice." A righteous sacrifice meaning doing it the right way. And so David is praying for the future, that the future will be bright. That if God does this, if God gives him this purification, if God continues to do this thing, then in the future, things are going to be different. And so God, please give me that. Show favor to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings, whole burnt offerings. And the young bulls will be offered on your altar. He's talking about a future. He's asking God to restore to him. Restore him, change who he is, and show him the way that he is supposed to go. Folks, as I read this passage, and I think about David, I think about the sin that he's in, I think about myself, and I think about the sin that I've struggled with, and I think about the loneliness that I have, and how sometimes I ignore what God has called me to do, and I drift from him, and I come back to this passage, and I say, "Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation." It reminds me of what I'm to do and how I'm to do it. As I heard this song last night, I was thinking about the snow coming, and I already heard a bunch of grumbling about the snow coming, and I'd already heard about churches canceling and whatnot. God began to speak to me and say, "Listen," he spoke through my wife, he spoke through the radio. He said, "Listen, I think the sermon needs to change. That as we have a perfect setting for snow and cold, and it just kind of represents sin, and we look forward to the Lord restoring this earth, rejuvenating, we see green grass and blooming trees. It reminds us of the purification process, the restoration process that God continually does in us. That he can take that sin away from us through Christ and begin to build in us and transform us into who he is. Changing our lives and changing us into new creation. I'm going to have Tom play this song in a minute. And again, this is Mac Powell singing with Candy Peterson, I believe, this song. And I just want you to just take a moment, close your eyes, and listen to this song. When we're done, I'll come back up and say a prayer, and then we're going to sing our last song. We'll be done for today. But I just want you to hear these words. I want you to hear this song put into a musical arrangement. Okay?